The Geek News Central Podcast for Tuesday, 29 March, 2005. Welcome to the podcast.
Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central. This is the Geek News Central podcast coming to you live.
This is the only way forward.
From historic Ford Island, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, aloha everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. I am Todd, the geek from Geek News Central, and welcome. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, 29 March, 2005, and I've got a great lineup for you tonight. Hey, great feedback from show 50. Everyone loved it. I got about 25 or 30 emails from people saying, oh, I wish I would have participated in the contest, but it's all right. We'll have another one for you in the future, and I am going to play the comments from the winner here in a little bit, but if you're checking us out for the first time, we want to, of course, welcome you to the show. And depending on where you found the podcast at, we want to make sure that you visit the main site at www.geeknewscentral.com. Hey, I hope everyone had a good Easter weekend, and we had a nice one here. I talked to my wife, and hallelujah, she's coming home. It looks like maybe next week. And fellas, you know, she's been gone, about 5 weeks now, going on 6 weeks. The house is, I'm getting a little behind, you know. It's one of those things that's just going to happen. You know, I've done pretty well up to this point, so I'm sure the ladies out there are snickering, but we're going to have to go into emergency clean mode here in the next couple of days, especially if she calls me and says, okay, I'm firmed up to come home this particular day. You know what it's going to be like the last 24 hours. It's going to be the mad dash to make sure everything's right. You can't have her walking in the door being upset. Oh, no. You know, she's going to find something no matter what. But as long as, you know, the surfaces are clean and everything like that, we'll be good. So I'm excited about her coming home. I tell you, all these years that I've traveled and spent months, literally months away from home, and her being here by herself with the kids, I have a new realization on how hard she worked. I always knew she worked really hard. You know, I've always said that the moms have the hardest jobs while the husbands are off working. You know, for those of you moms that are stay-at-home moms, you know, it's tough. It really is tough working. And I can't imagine what it would be like if she was working and me being gone. It would be like, oh, that'd be murder. Hey, I want to tell you guys about a podcast. It's called The Home Network Help, and it's run by Christian Stout over at homenetworkhelp.info. Over the next couple of weeks, he is going to be doing a podcast on how to cover and reformat, or he's going to be covering how to reformat your PC from scratch. So those of you out there that have never done a reformat from scratch on your PC, please check that out. It should be a great podcast. It could be a good learning experience for all of you. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. Now, I wondered how long it was going to take on Friday before Norbert realized that he had won the flag. So I waited till about noon, and I sent him an email, and I said, have you listened to the podcast? And he sent me a email back saying, yes, he had, and he'd been busy. He hadn't had time to listen to the podcast, basically to call the voicemail line yet. But I guess he was walking around the house and was listening to his MP3 player and plugged in, and his wife thought he was freaking out when he started hip hollering and hooraying. But here is what he sent our voicemail line. So check this out.
Woohoo! Todd, this is Norbert Davis from Elk Grove, California, calling in to say thank you for the contest and pulling my name out of the hat. I appreciate it. Love the show. I am honored to be able to have a flag from the USS Missouri. That's going to be an excellent addition to my items of memorabilia that I have from Desert Storm. I was actually a Marine in Desert Storm the first round, so that's something I would like to add to my collection there. So, yeah, thank you very much. I'm excited about this. It's wonderful winning this, and I will definitely give you an email, tell you a little bit more about what what I'm going to be doing with that. So appreciate it. Thank you very much, Todd, and hope to hear from you soon. Bye-bye.
And Norbert did send me an email, and actually he's been playing around with some audio himself. I don't know if that's a prelude to doing a podcast or not, but first of all, Norbert, we thank you for your service to your country, going out there to Desert Storm on the first go-around, and does me proud to see that you have won this flag, and he's going to have that flag flown on the 4th of July. What a better day, right? Terrific day in our history here in the United States. Now, on Saturday, I talked to Mike from the Mike Tech Show, and you know, every once in a while, I get an email or I get a comment from somebody, and I just want to play this to you, and I just want to let you guys know, you know, you're all part of my big family here, you're part of my Ohana, and I know that we've had some influence on some of you, and, you know, we get emails all the time, I get emails all the time from you, and this one just made me feel really good, and it was followed up by a Skype call, but check this, I want to play this for you.
Hi, Todd. This is Mike Smith of MikeTechShow.com. I posted my first podcast tonight. I love what you're doing. Fantastic. You've got me hooked on podcasting by listening to your GeekNewsCentral.com. And the website's very, very raw, just starting out. And I just wanted to give you a shout to say, you know, thanks for all your great work, because I really enjoy listening and I hope that as I improve and get better at the podcast and I'll do a better job at the website, that you could include me with your where you're heading with your podcast Connect. So thanks a lot, and bye.
And Mike, we appreciate you sending that voicemail in, and you know, I know that you're having a great time doing your podcast. I could tell on Saturday when I talked to you that you're really hyped up. And for those of you that have not checked or haven't heard about Mike's show, he did send me a promo, so I want you guys to listen to the promo, and I want you to go over and to subscribe to his show. He's getting rave reviews already. So, you know, maybe Mike's going to be looking to take the top 10 spot at Podcast Alley, but maybe you guys can help him get there. So check this out.
Check out the Mike Tech Show, the technology and computer podcast discussing cool sites, software, tips, and tricks that will make you more productive at home and work. Go to MikeTechShow.com.
And we will have links up in the show notes to that show. So, hey, you know, it's pretty cool stuff, and thought you guys might be interested in checking out his show. Now, Saturday night, I was sitting here, and it was about midnight, and I got an was it Saturday night or Friday night? Let me look on here. Yeah, it was... It would have been Friday night, midnight. It would have been Saturday morning, Eastern Standard Time. And I got an email, a press release, from DV Forge Incorporated. Now, those of you that were reading the website this weekend probably saw my... I just came from the top rope down on this company. And what they were doing was that they were going to offer a $25,000 reward for the first person that could release a virus on the internet that would basically infect their two open G5 machines that were sitting with no firewall. It was basically a challenge saying, go ahead and launch something out into the wild. You know, there's more to it than that. And you guys can go to my website and check the link out and see all the details. But I sent an email to them almost immediately. And I said, what are you guys thinking? You know, I feel this is very irresponsible. You know, you make some good products, but I am not going to support your company in this. I mean, within 2 minutes, I'm looking at the timelines on the emails. Within 2 minutes, I got a not quite 2 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I got a reply back from one of their CEO, and he basically said, And him and I had talked in the past, and I can't remember exactly about what, but, you know, thought I would had went overboard a little bit in my comments. But apparently I wasn't the only one, because the following morning, by now they had released their original press release at about 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and by 9:41, which would have been, they released it at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and by noon the same day, the contest is canceled. Now, I don't know if we had anything to do with it. I know that we put a link up on the site saying, go here and complain, go here and call, and here's their telephone number. You know, I was totally blown away that this company would do that. And anyway, the good news is they canceled it, and they came out with a press release explaining they were worried about liable and the whole, or, you know, being sued, basically. So, yeah, you know, sure. I think they probably realized midstream that they had messed up. I've got a new mailing list that I have started, and I want you all to become involved in our mailing list for our website, for the podcast. This is going to be a where I'm going to release show notes and extra info about the shows, so you're going to get a chance to be able to talk to me directly, you know, via the mailing list, and share ideas about the show with those that subscribe. We're already had a lot of people pick up on the announcement and have subscribed, so we're going to have the link up in the show notes. So please go over to Geek News Central and click on the subscribe button and get subscribed to our mailing list for the Geek News Central podcast mailing list. With that, the Sprint PCS Smart Vision device, PPC6601, is the much-anticipated full-color Sprint PCS phone featuring Microsoft Windows Mobile 2003 software and embedded Bluetooth wireless technology. Get the latest information about this and other cell phones powered by Microsoft at www.msmobiles.com. Nobody else gives you the whole story. And thank you for MS Mobiles for being our sponsor. Okay, what else have I got in my list here? Has everybody noticed that those of you that read Robert Scoble's site, he has quit posting to his link blog? You know, basically, he was putting out 100 to 200 new links every day, and I think he just got a little overwhelmed. Robert, I miss your link blog. It had a great amount of information. Now, if we could just find, like, 10 people that could do what you were doing as a single person. You were a machine, man. I understand why you got tired. But, I do miss that, his link blog. So maybe we can twist his arm to come back. I'm on vacation right now. Took a few days off. I've been working so absolutely dawn to dusk. I haven't really had any time for myself. And I decided I need a little break. So I am going to finish up tomorrow, something I've been working on. And then Wednesday, I'm going to the beach. The kids will be in school, but I'm going to go to the beach and hang out and relax and maybe drink a few of those tall Hawaiian drinks and, you know, just get the stress off a little bit, at least while the kids are at school, then come home and pick them up. But I'm going to enjoy a few days off. Can't take too much vacation time, but I need it a little bit. Now, getting into the rest of the content for today, this is D-Day or D-Week, or yeah, today is D-Day. This is the day that they are going to, the folks from the defense team from Gruxter and the team that's going against them are going to be in the Supreme Court doing their oral arguments. Now, that release of that judgment probably, or, you know, the decision isn't going to come down until sometime in June. But today's the day, folks, and all you can do is keep your fingers crossed that they do a good job. It turns out that those of you that have switched to Gmail, and that being said, I still have Gmail accounts. So, you know, the number of people requesting Gmail accounts have dwindled. And I think because I basically have handed them out to all of you guys. But those of you that still need Gmail accounts, send me a request to geeknews@gmail.com. We'll get you a Gmail account. But what they're saying is that right now, 57% of the people that have switched to Gmail came from Hotmail and 27% from Yahoo. That tells you something right there. And I've always complained that Hotmail's email service wasn't that great. You know, and Gmail's got them all beat. I don't care what they say. I want to talk quickly about an article I found on Amazon.com. And basically the byline starts out, says Amazon.com Incorporated has one potential big advantage over its rival online retailers, and those things about you that you may not know yourself. And it basically goes into how Amazon is tracking what people are buying on their website. It's raised the ire of privacy advocates, and they're saying some private advocates believe Amazon is getting dangerously close to becoming Big Brother with your credit card numbers. You know, that's a pretty serious statement, but they go on to say that they are constantly finding new ways to exploit personal information, said Chris Hufnagel of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, an Amazon nemesis since 2000, after the company changed its privacy policy to allow sharing of personal information with companies it buys or partners with. Who doesn't Amazon partner or buy from right now? You know, that's pretty broad company base. But it goes on to talk about their new A9 search engine, in that basically when you go to Google now and you use their search engine, it is going to be keeping a historical on you and tying that to your login. So, you know, they're going to be snooping more on what you're buying at Amazon and building more suggested links for you. So this is something to think about when you're out there shopping online, folks. And you know, the almighty dollar, greenbacks always work best, but unfortunately you can't use, have to use your credit card when you're online. You can't use cash anymore. So, yeah, good info, good article, check it out. I think I've told you about the story I had about my wife and a pregnancy test kit. To reiterate that story real quickly, just so I don't waste a lot of time, basically what happened was, is when she thought she was pregnant for our third child, she went to the store and bought one of those pregnancy test kits. She paid with it with one of those shared debit cards, those red credit cards or Visas. It's tied to your checking account, and came home. They did the test, and of course the test came out positive, and she went to a regular physician the following day and had that test done so she could get on the neonatal vitamins and all that stuff. And lo and behold, about 7 days later, in the mail arrives a parenting magazine saying, congratulations, Cochrane family, for new baby on the way, or something like that. We hadn't had children in 7 years, and we got this announcement from Parent Magazine. How did they know? Were they tracking our credit card? Or did the store sell the information? Did the healthcare provider, someone was on the take? Who knows? But that told me right at that point that companies know way too much information about our personal buying habits. So paying cash, folks, that's the only way you're going to really avoid some of the tracking. Over at IT Conversations, Doug Kay has decided to change his licensing scheme for all of the content that they have over there. They are going to be changing their Creative Commons license to what's known as a sampling license. And this was in response to someone that Doug knew was going to build a secondary site with all of his MP3s on there. They were going to basically transform from Doug's site, put them on their own site, and, you know, basically present them in a different way. And the guy actually told Doug about this. So, you know, Doug talked him out of it and basically said, if you're going to build a site, you know, just do a direct link back to the site. Now, Doug has the same or had the same Creative Commons license that we do for our show. So he's concerned that his information is going to be misused. So he's going to the sampling license where he says basically they can still use it for fair use. They can still cut stuff out and use segments. And going to be able to transform the work to commercial and non-commercial purposes. But anyway, for those of you that are worried, those of you that are podcasters out there that are worried about some of these issues that are starting to rear their ugly heads, go over to the Creative Commons website and check out the new sampling license. I guess that's a mouthful, isn't it? Okay, Wired Magazine has a great article. It talks about, hey, do you want to buy a slightly used Soviet spacesuit? apparently the black market in Russia, there's just an amazing amount of space memorabilia that is being sold. And you can go to the Russian flea markets there and just find everything from space helmets to space suits to all kinds of stuff. You know, stuff that was on the Soyuz, supposedly. You know, some of it might be knockoffs, but a lot of this stuff is it's finding its way onto eBay. So those of you that are big space aficionados that like to collect this kind of stuff, I guess it's prime hunting grounds right now for this kind of material. But the price is not cheap. So you're going to have to break out that credit card with a very high limit if you want to buy any of this really, really cool stuff. Now, if you've got $5 million, you can buy the mock-up of the Russian space shuttle that was never built. So, you know, have that sitting in the backyard for a jungle gym for the kids. Would that be cool or what? There's an article over on Locker Gnome. It talks about a study that they basically linked to a study that talks about the number one mistake that most blogs do. And this is part of the reasons why we are starting a mailing list. They're saying that because only 5 to 7% of the people in basically on this survey they did are actually using RSS feeds to, you know, consume their data versus going directly to a website, that we should be using traditional ways to move our content. So if we do a weekly or bi-weekly newsletter with all the content via a mailing list. Now, I had originally thought about that on the Geek News Central website, and we had utilized a service. Let me see what it's called. It's linked to it. Let's see. I got to bring this site up here. But what we found is it's been less than, it's called Bloglet, B-L-G-L-E-T. And you'll notice on the site it says powered by Bloglet. You can go over there, and I believe that we've got like 400 people that are actually subscribed to get a daily email with what's going on our site. So whatever is posted there every day, you're supposed to get an email with all those posts. But it has been broke. It hasn't worked really well for a while. I don't know if they've gotten overloaded, but I've checked our feed 3 or 4 times. So we may be implementing something of, you know, our own solution here. Hopefully I can find a plugin for movable type that will allow me to do this so that we can basically allow those of you that want to get a email with a summary of everything versus coming to the site or using an RSS reader. We may put that up. We'll see what kind of a take-up we get on those of you that are going to be subscribing to the podcast mailing list. Now, that podcast mailing list isn't going to be used to spam you. There will be open discussion both ways. So someone post a message into it, I can respond, and you'll get that. So you know, let's try it out. Let's see how it works for a little while. And it might be a way for me to figure out who's actually listening to the show, too. Get to know some of you guys a little better that are kind of shy in emailing comments about the show to us. Norton 2005, how broken is the activation process? Apparently, a lot of people that are using Norton 2005 have had all kinds of problems where they've installed it, activated it, went, you know, maybe a month or two, and had maybe 10 months left on their activation, and all of a sudden it pops up and says, I need to be activated again. Now, I know I had a problem recently where it tried to do an update, and it said it couldn't repair itself, and I actually had to deinstall Norton System Works, and then reinstall Norton System Works for a update to take. And that had never happened before. That's kind of scary. You get a pop-up says, you know, Norton System Works cannot be repaired. You have to uninstall and reinstall. You know, you wonder, okay, is this really Norton saying this, or is this a virus trying to trick me into saying this, and I unload it, and then I get my machine infected? So I did some hunting around on the Norton site, and I did find where there was an actual issue that a few people had had problems with, and I was one of them. But apparently what's happening is people that are buying Norton Antivirus 2005, the box edition, they go to install it, and they paid $49 for it, and it won't activate. And then they want to try to call Norton to find out what's going on, and Norton has a $29.95 service charge that they charge you to call them to talk to them. You know, I'm a big fan of Norton Antivirus. I've used it a long time. I switched from McAfee. I used to be a big-time McAfee fan, and I had some issues with some viruses getting through. Now, this was a number of years ago, so ever since I've been on Norton Antivirus. So, what's up? What's up with that? Is anybody else having that problem? Now, my Mac Mini. I want to know why my Mac Mini has such a hard time connecting to my network here at the house. If it's on for a long time, if I leave it turned on for 2 or 3 days, and all the other computers are on in my network, all my other Windows machines can see each other just fine, but when I go over to the Mac Mini to try to get into the network, it never sees the network. And if I sit there and I leave the network window open for 10 minutes, it finally picks it up and says, oh yeah, here's a network. So any of you Mac guys that are out there that use this between a Windows network and a, you know, how Mac does it, let me know what I should be doing here. Is there some setting I can change so that this thing doesn't time out and disconnect from the network? Now, maybe it's on the Windows side. I don't know. But it sure just drives me nuts, especially when I want to move a file around and it just won't let me because I can't get through the network. I have to reboot the Mini to get it to basically see the network. And I've checked to make sure that the network card's not going to sleep and all that other stuff. So any advice you can give me there, I'd appreciate it. Now, we talked about last time how Sony, basically there's big outcry on these PSP screen problems. And Sony's going to take another look at it. But basically they've said in their manual, hey, this is part of the deal. Some of these LCD displays are going to have missing pixels, or the pixels are going to be dim. But can you imagine? You know, I think I would be utterly upset spending that kind of money, $250 for the PSP, only to find out that a few of the pixels were out. And then Sony tell me, oh, that's normal. You know, if it bothers you after you've used it a couple weeks, then call us. We'll think about replacing it. Wow. You know, what a way to become disingenuous with your customers. Now, I wondered, what did they do? Did they try to reduce costs and go with a lower quality LCD display? You know, if I bought a laptop and brought it home and opened it up and there was a dead pixel or two, I'd be putting it right back in the box, taking it back to the computer store and say, hey, there's dead pixels on this screen. I don't want it. And you know what they do? They would exchange it because it would not be acceptable. So what's the difference between a PSP and a laptop? You know, the screen's smaller, but the price is lower. If you guys have got, any of you have a PSP out there that has screen problems, hey, drop us a line. Call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 and vent your frustration on Sony. And then we will play it right here on the podcast on Friday. Okay, how many of you guys have TiVos? Have you guys seen this pop-up style ads when you're fast-forwarding through commercials? Apparently, they're testing this out. So, you know, isn't that the point of TiVo or any DVR? You don't want to watch the commercial, so you hit fast forward through it. And now they're going to put up some sort of a pop-up that shows you a commercial where you have to interact to say you wanted more information or not. No, TiVo, I opt out. I don't want it. You know, if I have to pay, no, I don't want to pay any more for the service. I'm already paying you. Don't put ads on my TiVo. So, you know, I haven't seen this yet. So let us know. Let us know what you guys are seeing out there. If you guys got TiVos, if you're seeing these pop-up style ads that are popping up while you're going fast forward. Okay, now every once in a while, man conquers the common thief. And, you know, have you guys ever had your credit card stolen and someone charge up $2,000 or $3,000 on it? Well, apparently some guy had his credit card numbers hijacked, and some would-be thieves ran up $3,000-$4,000 worth of stuff. And the fraud people from the credit card people caught it, and they called him and said, hey, you got a problem, you know, your credit card's been hijacked. And so they went through the process of shutting the credit cards down and everything like that. But basically they told this guy that, hey, you know, the last place these guys charged was a Denny's over a certain area. So he basically did some detective work and found out where the Denny's was at, drove over to the Denny's, got a description of who the guy was, found out what time he'd been in there and ate, And it was happened to be right next door to a hotel. So I went across the street to the hotel and found out, basically through a little luck, that, yeah, these guys were staying here. And they pulled the receipts or pulled the registration stuff, and sure enough, they were registered in one name and paying on another card. How's that possible? You know, I can understand. I send my daughter with my credit card to the mall, and, you know, she has the same last name as I do, and she's got ID, and she can say, this is my dad's credit card. He's given me permission to use it. You know, that'll slide sometimes, all right? You know, that's on me to make sure my kid doesn't use my credit card the wrong way. But these guys register as one name and use this guy's credit card. It's another. You know, that would be like red sirens going off to me if I was a hotel clerk. What it is usually these clerks don't even read the credit card. They just scan it and hand it back to them. So anyway, make a long story short, busted these guys, got them in handcuffs, and they're in jail. But it took a little detective work. The police weren't too excited about helping them out, but I guess they finally showed up and put these guys in handcuffs. But it just goes to show you, you do a little detective work yourself, and every once in a while, you get lucky. So, we're glad to see that. Okay, there's a new service coming out. It's called upcoming.org. It's a social event calendar completely driven by people like you and I. You can manage your events, share events with friends and family, and syndicate your calendar to your own site. This looks absolutely cool. And we're starting to see a lot of this stuff come together, this collaborative, these collaborative tools. And so you guys can go over and check out upcoming.org. Now, this goes into something else I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Let's see here. We're not going to talk about that. So let me get over here where this is at. Oh, here's the other one of the other articles. There's another one that's called Blog Pulse Conversation Tracker. And basically, I'm just going to read the first paragraph of the website so you guys get an idea here. When a blogger publishes a post and other bloggers link to it, the post becomes part of a conversation. The initial post is a seed of the conversation. What happens next is fascinating. Posts linking to the seed are themselves linked to, and so on. From the seed post grows a conversation graph. The nodes of the graph are posts, and arcs of the graph are permalink citations from post to post. Kind of like a track back tracking on steroids. So they've got a little tool here that you can go and put an original link in. Let's say you post something on your website and you want to find out kind of where that post has went. And it was original post. It wasn't something that you found and linked to, but it was something you originally wrote as new material that people linked in directly to or linked to directly. So it takes a little while to run the test. I did a couple of them, but some amazing results. So Blog Pulse Conversation Tracker, and it's not at that website domain name, so I'm just going to put it up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. We're 35 minutes, and I am not done. Oh, my goodness, we are running out of time. Okay, let me skip that. Hey, cool application. If you guys want to have some fun, netdisaster.com. Go over there, put in any URL in the target list, choose what you want it to do, and it's hilarious. It's a lot of fun to watch. Someone came up with a great graphical tool, and go nuke your own website with this thing. That's all I'm going to say about it. Go over to netdisaster.com. Also, here's the other collaborative package I want to talk about. It is basically Yahoo 360, and it's going to be launched on March 29th. It's going to be a limited beta, but basically the people that are going to be invited to it are going to get unlimited invites. They can invite whoever they want. So if anybody out there gets a Yahoo 360 account, send me an invite, geek@geeknewscentral.com. I'd like to try this out, and it's going to be a very interesting service. It's, again, one of those things where you set it up, and you basically invite people to participate with you, and it allows you to have basically some collaborative information that is drug in and what other people are saying or what they're, you know, you can link to people that you know. And it's kind of like I don't know if there's anything quite like it yet. Now, there may be a few services that it's close to. I would almost think it almost does it like, because I've done some tricks with PubSub by looking at particular sites or looking what people are talking about on particular sites. But a little different model, and they've got some screenshots up of it. And it's gonna, looks like it's going to be a very interesting product by Yahoo. Okay, last article. There's a gentleman, let's see here, what is his name? Jeffrey Veen, and he basically was sitting in on a interactive design contest, and he reviewed, literally, let's say 300 different websites, and they were basically trying to find out who had the most innovative website or, you know, give out some awards. And he goes into this detailed process about how people are, you know, all these sites are flash, flash, flash. And it just goes into reducing interactivity, loading time, sounds, self-assembling interfaces, basically taking buttons off your browser. There's just a whole bunch of stuff he goes into. So if you're a web designer, I think this is a good one for you to read. And check it out. All right, we're at 38 minutes, and I want to play you a promo for the Podcast Expo.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
Boy, time really flies when we're having fun. I'm over on my limit tonight. I thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. As always, we can be reached via voicemail at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. If you got a podcast or if you got something you want promoed, call the voicemail line. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, and also geek@geeknewscentral.com for the email, or if you need a Gmail account, geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get you hooked up. Hey, guess what's the next show? It's on April 1st, okay? No April Fool's surprises, but I am going to have a challenge for you all, okay? So when you guys tune in on April 1st, be ready. There's going to be a challenge for everyone that tunes in, and this is going to be, I'm going to rely on you guys to help me out. We're going to do something big here, okay? We're going to try to do something that hasn't been done before, and at least on with Geek News Central. So make sure that you pick up the show and listen to it Friday morning. Okay, when you guys get up, make sure you take the extra time and make sure we're loaded into your MP3 player or however you listen to the show. Listen to us and help a brother out, all right? And we want to thank you for being part of our family. As always, I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our show. And we'll see you on Friday, folks. And aloha. And until then, bye-bye.